In this edition of Curious Wisconsin, we take a look at a Wisconsin legend of the theater, Alfred Lunt, born this week in 1892.
Director and critic Harold Clurman said of Lunt that he was, quote, universally acclaimed the finest American actor in the generation which followed John Barrymore. He was talking about Milwaukee-born Alfred Lunt, who, with his wife Lynn Fontanne, were a major force in American theater for 40 years. We'll find out about Alfred Lunt from Randy Bryant, president and CEO of the Ten Chimneys Foundation in Genesee Depot. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well,
Randy, give us the basics. Who were Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne?
Well, Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne, they were the premier stage actors from the 1920s through the 1960s, and they were perfectionists at its best.
And how did Wisconsin shape Alfred Lunt as a person, as an actor?
Well, Alfred was born and raised in Wisconsin, and his father died at an early age, so he really became the man of the house, taking care of things, highly devoted to his mother, Hattie. But when you think of how Wisconsin shaped him, he went to Carroll College, and it was there at Carroll College that he was encouraged to go off to Boston and to stay in theater.
And you said they were perfectionists. How did that come into play in their theater career?
Oh, they were relentless. They loved playing in front of an audience, and so therefore they made sure that it was done perfect before they actually got on stage.
And they were on Broadway, their big claim to fame?
They were on Broadway, but they played all over the country, and that's really what attributes to their success, the fact that they played everywhere. And so they felt that everyone deserved to have quality, good theater. And so they played in the smallest places. They played in even churches. But they made sure that they continued to act and continued to deliver quality theater throughout the country.
You mentioned they loved being up in front of a live audience. I understand that while they were in some films, that wasn't their priority. Why did they go for the theater more than the screen?
Well, again, being perfectionists, and they really want to have the artistic control. And so back in those days, it was not heard of to provide artistic control. Today, you see some actors get that, but it was unheard of back then. But the other thing is that they really love responding to a live audience and the response they receive from a live audience. And so they didn't like just doing a take and then taking and having someone else decide, okay, it's done. They felt that it's done when we say it's done.
What roles do we know them best for today?
Well, in Design for Living, you know them in, I know this one by heart. In Design for Living, they played Gilda and Otto. And then in The Taming of the Shrew, it was Kate and Petruchio.
Uh-huh.
But their one and single and only film was The Guardsman. Started out as a play that they did in 1924, and then it was done for MGM in 1931. And so that's their one and only movie that they did together.
And their national reputation in the theater world, were they regarded as top-flight performers?
They were the best. As I stated earlier, they were the premier actors, and they developed the method acting that you see today.
Really?
Never before did actors turn their back on the audience. That was never thought of. And Alfred turned his back on the audience, and they had actual conversations. They spoke over one another, which is the way people speak. Naturally, but back in those days, you would say your line, and then you wait, and then the other person would respond, and that was not natural for them. The other reason why they really gained attraction by the audience is that being married, they were able to do a little bit more than your average stage actors could do. So, and they took it to the limits.
Didn't I read that they were in something a little risque that involved a menage a trois? Speaking of.
Well, it may have been called a menage a trois back then. I think today we would have trouble seeing what's wrong with it. But, yeah, it was. But actually, the menage a trois made it quite popular. I mean, the ticket prices were going for way over the list price. And it sold out for every performance, and basically it stopped after 6 months because Noel Coward got tired. He just didn't want to continue on, but it could have gone on forever because there were crowds and crowds of people that were there, and they even had to have the police control some of the crowds at times.
Hmm. Were they always performing together, or did they do a lot of work on their own as well?
No. They made a contract. One of the reasons why they went with the theater guild was that they were able to agree that they would only act together, and they would be able to have their summers off to be able to spend out at Tin Chimneys. Mm. And so there's an exception. In 1927, Lynn made a film, I think it was Strange Interludes, by Eugene O'Neill. But other than that, they acted together. And this started early on. If you consider that they met in 1919, married in 1922, and in 1924 is when they joined the Theater Guild, and that's when they made their pact. So that's why you don't see them separate.
Huh.
Sounds like quite a love story when you compare it to, you know, the Hollywood romances of today. They really seem to have been in love with each other. And they weren't just icons of theater, it sounds like. They were also known for having incredible elegance and grace, weren't they?
Incredible elegance and grace, but also just being incredible people. You know, when you look at their core values in terms of what they value lasting relationships. And they had many relationships with many people. And so, and when you think of the secrets that were kept, coming out to Tin Chimneys in Genesee Depot, first of all, you have to think Genesee Depot, little Genesee Depot. And then you think of the big stars that were out there. So Laurence Olivier, Katharine Hepburn, who else? Trying to think of, I'm losing some of the thoughts there. I can see his face, Montgomery Clift. Mm. But all of them were coming out to Genesee Depot. And at that time, it was not known. But yet they would come out there and they would spend months at a time. Helen Hayes would spend months at a time out there. And they would enjoy themselves. Nothing was said by the town. The Lunts did not broadcast, oh, we have these people coming out or whatever. But the relationships lasted a lifetime. And we still have people coming to Tin Chimneys sharing stories about Alfred and Lynn and just how giving, how kind they were. And so what we emulate at Tin Chimneys is all a reflection of what their lives have been.
Well, take us to their home at Tin Chimneys. What's it like?
It is amazing. It is a place where one can go to escape. Tin Chimneys is really multifaceted because when you go there in the main house, it's like going into a set. It was designed, many of the murals there, many of the murals were designed by Claggett Wilson, who was a set designer. And but the house is very whimsical. It's a lot of fun. And it is a stage. And it's as if you're walking into stage. The studio where they practiced their lines and acted and where they would dance is a wonderful place. And then you have the cottage, which is Scandinavian as a result of Alfred's roots. But foremost, it's just a place to relax. The pool, one of the first pools gone, one of the first in-ground pools in the state of Wisconsin, one of the largest pools. And then you have to remember, it was a gentleman's farm. And so reflection of all of what Alfred and Lynn enjoyed. Alfred was a Cordon Bleu cook, and so we would take from his gardens. And Tin Chimneys, we're proud to say that we have continued that on. And so we give, with the vegetables that we raise, we give to the food pantries in both Waukesha and Milwaukee County. The eggs that we raise, we also pass those on. So it's really nice. We have the aroma of the farm there. But yet at the same time, we have the setting, which is so great, so elegant, and so exceptional, which we open once a year to the public, where they can come have all access to all the buildings and all the grounds. If you want to have a picnic there, come out and have a picnic at Tin Chimneys.
Well, speaking of a picnic, real quick, in the next 20 seconds or so, if someone wants to visit, what do they do?
If you want to visit, just call in to our line, 262-968-4100, and you get the reservationist, make your reservation, and come on out to Tin Chimneys.
All right, Randy, thanks so much for coming to visit us today.
Thank you.
That's Randy Bryant. He is president and CEO of the Tin Chimneys Foundation.